radio program. 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have Scott Daly, Film Fever Radio, that's going to be here. Rick, a tic-tac is a drop shot consisting of a shot of a shot glass of orange vodka dropped into a Red Bull and orange juice, also known as a vitamin C. Attention, Sarah X. Dillon, says this woman. I absolutely love getting hammered and watching America's Next Top Model. Attention, advertisers.
Awesome.
I knew I felt some awkward attraction to you. P.S. What the heck was up with 200-pound Tyra last night?
Seriously, I'm trying to find a still from that show, but can't seem to find them.
And this is how fat Tyra Banks has gotten. That somebody is sending me a story of from like a year ago when she did the fat suit thing, claiming that this is the thing. But this is last year. He's like, Rick, she was wearing a fat suit. But this is from last year. This is November 4th, 2005. Tyra Banks experiences obesity. Maybe she just tried obesity. It's like trying heroin or bisexuality. Well, you know, she likes it so much.
Well, it's behind the time because they were just talking about one of the girls graduating. So it's like 4 months back. So maybe she lost the weight already. But at this point of the filming, she looks really bad.
I'm just saying the still I saw of her made her look just as fat as she did in the fat suit. Because that was the fat suit was simulating like 300 pounds or something like this. So I don't know. It seems like she would have had to work pretty hard both to put that weight on and to take it off this quickly. I don't know. We'll find some definitive answer to it. Rick, why don't you name your hand Fisty LaRue? Okay, there you go. Thank you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the original hairy, scary guy, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Clyde brought in a scary book.
I brought in a bunch of scary books.
This isn't
actually
another book wrapped in somebody's skin, is it?
No,
it's wrapped in like this creepy
fabric. I'm tired of you bringing in skin books.
This book was given to me by a man. I don't know who he was, but he said he had to give it to me, and I had to pay a dollar for it. It was at the Horns Across the Hawthorne. Remember after we went to Dante's and I was doing my
deal. Was he clutching a paper bag full of glowing green things?
No.
Was he telling you how to kill anti-sponge?
No, but what it is that it's a 100-year-old book called The Mark of the Beast. And okay. it's a religious tract, and I was reading it today, and it's really creepy. It's about all these women. It was written in the 1900s about all these women that wanted to give birth to the Antichrist. It's kind of an interesting little book that I was looking over.
That you just carry around for no readily apparent reason.
Well, I'm cramming for my event on Halloween, actually. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of get the feel of it all and get the creepiness going, and then I have a copy of the Necronomicon.
Of course, why wouldn't you?
Everybody should have this in their library, the Necronomicon.
A
book that's never been written, actually. They say that it's the book that has not been written, the Necronomicon.
That's all fake. I heard it's all fake.
Well, this is the thing.
Because they claimed that it was from like 1500 or something, but like some guy wrote it like in
1910. Well, okay, Lovecraft allegedly was involved with this, and this guy that wrote this tome of the Necronomicon is actually a well-known chaos magician or a black magic guy.
And black magic guy.
It's black
That's
magic
guy. That's the technical
guy.
Name for it.
It's black magic guy.
And a now rippist.
So I was reading through this, and what's interesting about the Necronomicon is that even though it's supposed to be fake, a lot of things that are written in the Necronomicon are based on the Old Testament, which is really scary. So if you look through it, I recognize things because I've read the Bible a couple times, and this is taking the Bible one step further, and that is that there are a lot of vampires and werewolves. I mean, if you look in the book of Numbers, you read the book of Numbers, that book is loaded with vampires and werewolves. You just read the book of Numbers in the Bible. You know, if I can get anybody to read the Bible this way, read it about the vampires and the werewolves in the book of Numbers in the land of Canaan. It's kind of scary.
I tried to read the book of Numbers. I can never figure out what page I was on.
Oh! Yeah! You got it. There you go.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. Oh, this one. Thank you, Aaron.
Ooh.
Little village of the Dune. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program. And I apologize for not knowing more of the details about how this is happening, but I guess it'll all be explained. Somebody sent me an email, and they said, did you know that there's a stage production, like a stage play version of Night of the Living Dead happening? And so welcome now the director, John, is it Monteverde? Am I pronouncing
it? Monteverde, Rick.
Monteverde, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I've been listening to your show. It's going great.
So, well, thank you. So what is... Correct me if I'm wrong. So this is this the same Night of the Living Dead? This is just like they're coming to get you, Barbara?
They are coming to get you, Barbara, yeah. That would be the show. This is about actually my fifth year doing the show.
Uh-huh.
It's becoming kind of an annual Portland, I think, holiday Halloween horror tradition here. It's done live on stage with live actors, live zombies. They rise right up out of the audience frequently, sometimes taking out members of the audience as
that's
the show
cool.
goes along.
Awesome.
And attack the actors on stage. But, yeah, we actually even produce it in black and white.
How do you do that? Is it just like a makeup and clothing thing?
And the set and then the lighting.
That's very cool.
The show
that's...
is actually also combines live action with video, so that we actually have segments that we have filmed that look very much like the movie with the actors, and then you see the scenes. The actors almost appear to come right off of the screen.
Do you do the classic spade scene where...
We got little Karen Cooper chops up her mom with
spade
and, you know, rips out her dad's kidney and eats it.
I love that scene.
Bring the whole family.
Lovely little actress, 11-year-old Roxanne Stathos, and she's definitely the scariest of all the zombies.
That's awesome, yeah, that's really a creepy
scene. She scares us all every night.
Right.
I think it's a really exciting alternative to the haunted houses. You can do some of those and come catch us as well. We're at the Valley Theater.
Is it true that George Romero, that nobody owns Night of the Living Dead? Somebody told me that it's public domain.
And again, this could be urban legend, but
he forgot to put the little C in a circle on it.
Right before they released Night of the Living Dead, they changed the name. I guess it was originally called, like, I don't know, Midnight of the Flesh Eaters or something horrible like that. And they changed the name to Night of the Living Dead. And when they changed the name of the film itself, they forgot to put the little copyright thing on there.
Nope.
Now apparently it's public domain. You can download it on online and watch it. And
they're actually showing it on public access television, I think, Halloween night, matter of fact.
Well, I've seen it pop up in a bunch of videos. That Wednesday 13 video uses it, too. And Joni, right. I'm like, well, how did they do that? How did they get the permission? But I guess, it just belongs to it belongs to everybody.
It fell into, the time was up, and it fell into public domain, I think, pretty recently, actually.
Very cool. Have you guys, have you thought about, is this the only place? Well, first of all, is this your brainchild to do this Night of the Living Dead play?
It is my brainchild. It's something I came up with about 5 years ago, and a lot of the original cast has been with me. Shuey Hawkins, a local actor, he plays the role of Ben, the lead role and kind of the heroic zombie slayer
right.
in it,
mm-hmm.
Has been with the show since the beginning, as well as a lot of the other cast members. We've been doing this for quite a while.
Is it doing anywhere else? I mean, is this like a thing you could take on the road? Are you going to like franchise it or something?
Well, we're just going to bring it back every year is our idea. We want to bring it back for, two weekends right before Halloween every year after year.
So have you thought about doing...
Something that you kind of get used to. Something you do along with your haunted house going in your pumpkin patch visit every Halloween.
I'll do it right after I watch the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown special.
Exactly.
Have you thought about doing any other movies? Have you thought about doing...
Well, it's hard. This, we didn't adapt this. This was already adapted and written. So getting permission is great. I've always, being a kid of the 80s, was always a little rather fond of Friday the 13th.
Totally.
Just because, I was talking to a friend last night, and it's really what taught us in our youth not to be summer camp counselors or babysitters.
Yes.
Those were
yes.
not good career choices. To take on. So, that might be coming some way down the road there.
Is it gory? I mean, is this a thing you can take, can people take kids to see this, or
well,
is it adults
gory? And again, whether you can take kids or not depends on your kid. A lot of kids love that kind of stuff.
Fantastic.
Especially the kids who pull wings on flies.
We're really not recommending it for under 12. it's definitely scary, and it's definitely gory. But,
okay, so it's not...
15 and 14-year-olds tend to love it.
So this Night of the Living Dead is a place, so do you... It's gory, is it kind of played for laughs, or do you play it totally straight?
Well, we play it totally straight, which doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't get plenty of laughs. I mean, there's a certain earnest campiness to the whole thing, really. It's played, serious, and there are definitely some genuine scares in it, I believe, too.
Excellent.
It is played totally straight, and it is played for scares, but certainly there's a lot of inherent humor. One of the all-time classic lines is when they interview the sheriff, and he says, tell us, Chief... Is there any way to stop these things? And the sheriff says, they're dead. They're all messed up.
They're all messed up.
And that always gets a huge roaring laugh and round of applause from the audience. That's
cool.
That's a classic line.
All right. Well, people want to go see this. The Night of the Living Dead stage play. Where do they say? Is it like a website?
We're at the Valley Theater tonight and tomorrow night. We have shows at 10 o'clock. And again, we have shows at midnight. So you get two chances to see it each night.
Awesome. And is there a website?
There is a website, www.bluemonkeytheater.com. .org, or you can call for tickets at 503-777-4506. And for those people who don't know, the Valley Theater is right down on the Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. But it's a real popular area there, right next to the bowling alley and the ice rink, and such.
Excellent. Do the zombie walk tomorrow and then go see it.
Absolutely do the zombie walk. And in fact, we have a lot of guests who will come in costume.
Haven't you heard about this?
I don't know anything.
Portland will be seized by zombies tomorrow at 5 o'clock from Pioneer Square.
Not real zombies.
Real zombies. Yeah. We're going to unleash the zombie horde.
Right.
There's going to be the zombie walk. It's something they're doing all around the world, actually. There was one in New Zealand. It was amazingly successful. And they're going to do one here in Portland, Oregon, where people are going to dress up as zombies.
Is it like a parade or something?
Yeah, it's like a parade. And everybody's walking down the street like they're living dead.
They're going to do what?
So.
Genius.
Well, we're encouraging people to come in costume for Night of the Living Dead because we have our zombies out there in the audience as well, and a lot of the audience is dressed as zombies. And you often don't know whether the zombie sitting next to you is a zombie from the show or just another audience member, pretty much until they attack you.
Cool. You don't know if it's a zombie or a guy on the bus.
Right.
All right. Smells of urine.
John Bonaventure, director of the Night of the Living Dead stage play. Find out more at bluemonkeytheater.com.
.org.
I'm sorry, .org. Thank you, sir. All right, brains. All right, thank you, sir, and continue. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. John Bonaventure, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's pretty cool, actually. When did he say Friday and Saturday?
This is going to be awesome.
All right, we'll go to the website and find out more. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll take a break here. I'm going to play this. We'll go into the break. And then we'll come back. You've got a top four. What is your deal?
Top five scary songs of all time. You got them, right? You downloaded them?
No.
Or was I supposed to bring them?
I didn't bring them.
You didn't? Well, I just suggested it. And I figured you have a radio station. You have a way to download it. But I got other things to talk about.
Okay, you can't suggest Clyde.
What?
If you're presenting a top five, you got to bring it with you.
But when do I have time to come into your studio and record this stuff? I used to be able to do this, but I don't do it anymore.
You've got a computer.
Yes, I know, but I don't know. I didn't have time. I just thought maybe you would know.
Clyde. There you go.
You have music coming out your ears.
Clyde,
you've got iPods and crap.
Clyde, by definition, any group of songs that you would pick is going to be stuff that I would probably never own.
Come on.
I mean, if you're suggesting, yes, if you say, like, I'm going to play, like, a Kiss song,
You
yes.
have the Alice Cooper song that I have.
No?
Okay,
no.
Well, all right, so that was just a real letdown then.
Thanks for coming in, Clyde. There you go. Glad we built that up. Fantastic. Well done.
I said that.
Thanks for being a big buzzkill for the whole room.
Pull the air out of the show completely.
You really did. Thank you so much. All right, there you go, Clyde Lewis.
No, I want to talk about my stuff.
No. We'll play this. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere. I'm gonna play this.
Give him some beer and make him funny.
See, I'm gonna make you sing them. I'm gonna make you.
I'm already on drugs.
Here's what
we're
gonna do. We're gonna come back. We'll do your top five. I'm gonna have you describe that, and I'm gonna have you sing sections of the song.
You're kidding.
You didn't bring them. You can't. You gotta.
I will.
Isn't it understood?
Darn right, I'll sing them.
Sarah, are you with me here?
The thing is,
it's understood that if you are creating a top five, you're like, I'm going to come in and do a top five.
I don't know why Clyde didn't get it done. He was on the phone with that harlot all night.
Don't talk
What
about
harlot
it.
Is this?
Oh, stop it.
What harlot? Oh, like,
look, she's already interfering with your work. She's not good for you.
Seriously. What harlot are you on the phone with?
I was just talking about
Don't pretend like you don't want to talk about it either.
I was talking with that girl that I met at Aaron's
wedding.
What
girl?
The one that looks like Betty Page.
Becca?
Yes.
Like she doesn't have it. Like, you're being all cagey. Like she lives here.
It's like there's no romance or anything.
It's purely sexual.
You wish that there would be.
She was on the way to the airport, and I was talking to her on the phone last night.
Were you chasing her in a bus? Were you pounding on the window?
No!
Now, to recap, this is the girl that Clyde spent all night buying drinks for, and then they finally became friends.
Oh, yeah, you bought a lot of drinks for her, so she'd give it up.
No, that's not true.
That work out?
No. No, it didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
No,
is she calling you collect?
Actually, no, she called me.
Oh.
No, she's calling
me. Did she call you collect?
No, she paid for the call.
Okay.
She actually paid.
Was she calling from jail?
No, she was calling from the airport.
I need a little money.
No, she's calling from the airport.
Did she ask you for any favors?
No. Uh-huh. She was very cool. We were talking and just kind of like.
Was she asking you to get tickets for something for her?
No, I just told her that if I was in L.A., that we'd go and hang out together.
Uh-huh.
That's all I said.
Claire, will you buy me drinks in L.A., too? I'm going to Idaho next week. Will you meet me in Idaho and buy me drinks there?
Fantastic.
Where's the farthest you've ever gone to meet a girl?
Did you have discussions on MySpace yet?
No, but she left something on my blog about spinach. When I wrote my spinach blog.
So you are not MySpace friends?
We are MySpace friends. In fact, we were MySpace friends 2 days ago.
Okay.
As a matter of fact. And she's got this cool picture of her on the Sin City cover. Obviously, she likes Sin City. She likes Rob Zombie. She likes the things I like. It's kind of awesome, actually.
She likes... Okay.
So she likes herself and you like her.
All right.
It's purely, purely platonic at the moment. She's in L.A.
At the moment.
At the moment. She's in Los Angeles.
Well, I'll probably be in Los Angeles, what, before the holidays. That'd be awesome.
Well, they have bars there, too.
I know.
All right.
I'm buying drinks there, too.
I'm going to play this, and then I'll tell you when we come back. Scotty, let's do this. We got to give away another pair of tickets for House of Midnight. So I'll tell you, well, do we have tickets to for the Night of the Living Dead thing, too? I didn't know that.
Oh, amazing.
Okay. Don't type LOL. When we come back, we will give people their choice of House of Midnight tickets or Night of the Living Dead tickets. And we'll do another Finish This 80s Butt Rock Lyric here contest at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is for the guy that called in the 11 o'clock hour and hadn't heard of Silence the Musical. Back after this with more of Clyde Lewis. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. Is my computer up? There we go. Solid State Radio.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this when it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose. And when it's done, there's one more thing, a simple little task. It's put the lotion in the basket. Put the lotion in the basket. All these stupid women are the same. Helps me not to think of them as human, so I call them bitch instead of by their name.
Mister, please no more abuse. Can't you see there's no excuse? My family's probably wondering where I've been.
Most of you, so your skin gets loose. Stop crying now, you big fat moose. Just put the lotion on your skin, and then put the lotion in the basket.
Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We're here with Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com.
Hi, about Satan.
About that top five you brought in.
Oh, yeah, what about that top five?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
Oh, Clyde.
I come unprepared. What can
you
I
You really do. It's, everybody understands it's like a bring your own, you know, it's like a BYOB kind of
but
a thing.
But see, I always look to you as the music, as a musical genius. And I tell you, I mean, I'm
trying to shine my shoes. If you're talking about doing a top five, you got to bring it with you. It's understood.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Besides, you didn't tell me that we were going to do the top five anyway. You just said, are you going to be on?
That's all I got. Yes, I wanted to have you in to talk about Nazis and hot chicks in L.A. that you're talking to. 503-733-2970. We'll get CJ here in a second, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to either Night of the Living Dead, the stage play, which sounds really badass. You know what sells it for me, perversely enough? The fact that it's in black and white. That's the kind of the... That's the
kind
selling.
Of like in Pleasantville.
Totally.
When they were wiping off the gray, that was the coolest part of that movie.
I'm kind of sold on that. Yeah, Clyde, you ought to do one of my push-ups for choking on the top five.
One of your push-ups? Yeah. Why?
It's punishment for being bad.
There comes a time when you need to let it go. There's nothing we can do.
You can't delegate push-ups either. It's not the way it works.
He should do five right now trying to.
Yeah, quit delegating push-ups.
I would love to, but I got to wait.
I've got to save them all extra for when Lycus is in studio.
Sorry,
dude.
Make Lycus to them.
No, you can do them in front of them.
Really? Okay. What are you doing down there? For God's sake. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Radio Program. From the Hill, singing on radio correspondent Bob Constantini. Bob, hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Bob. How's life? How are things?
It's been a bit slow here in Washington today.
You sound very harried, though.
The usual. No, I'm not very harried. It's been kind of relaxed enough. Well, I mean, there's always something to do, and there's always busy work. But it's been relatively slow.
So basically, you're just stringing paper clips together and staring blankly out a window.
Not quite, but
you can tell me.
IRS.
I won't tell Laura.
I'm trying to talk to the IRS. That's
best day ever. All right. Hey, we had some of my favorite phrases in the news today. We had George Bush talking about, quote, an activist court. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Is it a fair journalistic assessment to say that an activist court is just any time a court does something that you don't agree with?
Well, sir, of course, depending upon how you look at it.
Let's look at it from the point of view that it is realistic and real.
All right.
And true.
All right.
Let's just speak plainly as adults here, Bob. When George Bush talks about an activist court, that's a court doing something that pisses him off.
Well, he called marriage a sacred institution yesterday when he was in Des Moines, Iowa.
Hell, I can say that.
And referring to another activist court, as you say, that's the New Jersey court that rules, in effect, the state has to allow gay marriages.
Now, is it that they have to allow gay marriages or that they have to allow an equivalence? And here's the reason I ask. Because, and I know that there's a hundred shades, it really is not a black and white issue. There are many shades of gray here, because there is sort of the extreme right-wing point of view, which is that the gay marriage is an abomination and a sin and the opening of the seventh seal and there's going to be locusts and so
Adam
forth.
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah, this guy. Did you see that there was a couple? Okay, Bob, you can appreciate this. There's an anecdote for you. In the New York Times wedding announcements the other day, I swear to God, there was actually a gay couple, two men getting married. I swear to God, Adam and Steve.
Sure.
I swear to God. Tim and I were like reading the New York Times and it was like, look at this, Adam and Steve. It was so great because you always, like in Utah, man, if I had a nickel for every time some pinhead in Utah, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It was so great. I wanted to cut it out and like frame it. Adam and Steve married after 15 years together.
I must tell you.
There's all facts to you. There are people who believe that, you know, this is gay marriage is an abomination. And then there's people like myself who are just like, whatever, I don't even marry a turnip for all I care. I don't give a rip. And then there are people who propose or would be satisfied or at least for now would accept not calling it marriage, but having some equivalent, like a domestic partnership or a whatever, which seems like a bunch of crap to me. And I'll tell you why, Bob. Not that you asked or even care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Here's why. It is like when you would fight with your brother as a kid, and your mom would make issues like, you apologize for putting at your brother's eye with a big pen. And you would say, I'm sorry, you know, and you would roll your eyes and just say, like, the snippiest, bitchiest, I'm sorry. And, of course, that would just infuriate your brother even more, right? That you would, because what you really want is you want them to really honestly have to admit that they're wrong. And that's when they do this business of saying, well, we'll give you some rights, but we're not going to call it marriage. It's just like a bunch of, it's just a bunch of childish, like, five-year-old, obstinate behavior. And I think that's what infuriates people. And so my question is,
all right,
is this actually going to open the door to actual gay marriage or to some weird separate but equal crap that they're going to try to foist off as being gay marriage?
Well, basically, the court ruled on Wednesday that the New Jersey legislature has 180 days to pass a measure extending the rights of marriage to same-sex couples. That could be interpreted in various ways, and it could be a notion that civil unions they could be talking about the possibility of civil unions, and that depends on the definition of civil unions as it might be applied in New Jersey. But, the president and others have been taking it to mean actual marriage.
Well, you know, which is just as well. I mean,
and of course, for political.
There goes the neighborhood.
I got to tell you, yes, the Republic's going to implode. I can feel it. By the way, you might want to pass along the next time that you're speaking with somebody about this in Washington, D.C. The next time they start flapping their gums about the sanctity of heterosexual marriage, you might want to remind them that Elizabeth Taylor, I swear to God, just this week announced that she's getting married for the, wait for it, ninth time. And Larry King has been, I was just talking the other day where he was alluding to some fight with his wife. And like, this is seventh marriage or something like that.
She's Mormon, too.
Yeah.
Good girl.
So there you go. Anyway, well, and finally, I'm going to ask you this about this Donald Rumsfeld, who, by the way, is just, I hope that they don't ever get rid of that guy. And I hope, here's what I hope, that if Donald Rumsfeld ever quits, is fired, or with the change in administration that comes inevitably in 2008 that he's put out on his ear, whatever, I want that guy just to live not in a figurative ivory tower, but in a real ivory tower that is above Washington, D.C., where he just has a microphone in his hand, and just like 3, 4, 5 times a day, we can just cut away to him on a nationwide television broadcast and just have him, like, bitch about stuff. Because he's the quintessential, really intelligent, razor-sharp, cranky old guy. And he's just fantastically curmudgeon-like and entertaining, and I don't ever want that guy to go away. He was saying today, and I'm going to read this here so I get this right. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on Thursday said that the quality of armaments utilized by Iraq pales, in other words, is inferior to those wielded by the United States, and therefore he empathizes with the frustration Iraqi leaders face because of this. I don't understand what the hell the story is about. What is he talking about? What is this about? What does he mean?
Well, the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki was quoted in an article yesterday as saying that if he had the kind of armaments that the United States had, the kind of weaponry that U.S. forces there have, he could have his country in ship shape, if you will. And of course, I'm paraphrasing a bit there. Going well within about 6 months. And so Secretary Rumsfeld was asked about that yesterday, and he, you know, he talked about, of course, the Iraqis do not have the kind of weaponry that the United States has. Iraq's military, by and large, has old Soviet Union.
They're basically just using balsa wood.
And the donkey cannon is always popular.
Yeah. Spitballs. Well, here's what I mean. I don't mean to, like... Is a donkey cannon like a Wenatchee banana? I don't mean to boil this down into too. I don't mean to oversimplify, but I mean, what are they, children? Do we not trust them enough to give them, like, here you go, here's a gun. Like, we could start by just giving them one gun to share. And then, like, if they treat it nicely, then we could give them a second gun. Really, I don't mean to sound flip. I really don't understand. This is like going into a jewelry store, breaking all the glass, kicking everything over, and then refusing to give the guy a vacuum cleaner. Just clean it up with your hands. I mean, we've gone in there and just reduced that entire country to rubble and stirred up all of this insurrection, and now we won't give them weapons to fight with? What kind of... It just seems insane.
It is kind of interesting because perhaps a lot of people out there didn't realize that, you know, for the billions of dollars that we are spending in Iraq, we've not... We are not necessarily equipping the Iraqi army with the best arms and with our kind of weaponry, but it is generally a feeling, especially at the Pentagon, that American weaponry should be saved for Americans, and we shouldn't be giving it away and that kind of stuff.
Save it for when we have to invade Des Moines or something. All right, well, whatever. I guess the Iraqis will just continue to be equipped with lawn darts and then wonder why things are going poorly. Good God.
Again, we are paying, by and large, for their army and their security, but we are providing the best weaponry to ourselves.
So we're paying for the army, we're feeding them and clothing them just long enough to put them out into the line of fire where they can be immediately killed by the advanced weaponry of the enemy.
Well, it is questionable, of course, how much advanced weaponry we could actually provide to them when we are having difficulties providing it to our own forces.
This is the hokiest damn war ever.
This really is like a cable access kind of war. Yeah. Like, I remember hearing how the first Gulf War was sort of a cable television war. This is sort of a Channel 13, the kids have a program they do after school on alternate Fridays kind of war.
It's like, you know, it's like us with big guns going against them with the rubber bands on the 2x4s. You know, it's like stupid.
All right. Don't feel the need to have to. That's, we're paraphrasing again, not unlike ship shape.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Bob Costantini, I know that you're in for Lisa for a couple days next week. We will talk to you then. As always, thank you for tolerating our juvenile foolishness. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you soon, Bob.
As always, my pleasure.
Thank you. There you go. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill.
You know, we figured out why this
I love that guy. He's just so completely and totally bereft of any zing. But I agree with Sarah. He's embraced it and he's made it his style. You know what I mean? That is who he is. He just rolls with it. CJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. I just wanted to say you were talking about Night of the Living Dead a little while ago, and I was looking through the November issue of Game Informer magazine.
Nerd. Yes.
And according to the calendar, on November 10th, they are releasing Night of the Living Dead 3D.
Really? A game or a movie?
No, a movie.
Night of the Living Dead 3D?
The original George Romero 1968 Night of the Living Dead?
No, well, I only had one screenshot on this little calendar to go by, and it looked like it was a remix like it did Dawn of the Dead.
Is this the Night of the... Well, wait, Clyde, when did that color... When did that color remake come out? Was it 90 something?
Yeah, something.
Aaron's in Disneyland, right?
It's the guy that would played the, you know, the guy that was in Candyman. He was the guy that was
Candyman.
Yeah, the Candyman guy. He was the guy that played the lead character. And the scariest part is when they're in the cemetery and that guy that they bump into in the cemetery goes, I'm sorry. It's just creepy. Yeah. So they're doing that 3D version of the color show. Right.
But the remake was crap, wasn't it? Wasn't the remake terrible?
The remake was okay. It was all right.
Was the remake by Romero?
Well, it's argued. But yeah, it was by Romero.
All right, okay. And when is this coming out, CJ?
Well, according to the magazine, it comes out November 10th, and being 3D, I assume it'll be a Bridgeport.
Fantastic.
Bridgeport.
Excellent. Bridgeport, which is one.
See, I got a Rue Morgue. I got my Rue Morgue magazine in front of me. I
is that like Rue McClanahan?
Nothing scarier.
Nights in the Rue McClanahan. All right, CJ, oh, God bless you. I know you held for a while for that. Thank you, sir. Thank you for. And it was November 10th.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There you go. There you go. It's,
who are you to make fun of somebody for being too nerdy?
You know, we do it with love.
Well, I know. Well, I've got a Rue Morgue magazine in front of me.
I was going to say, you know what? You go back to my office, I got a huge stack of Fangoria magazines I was reading the other day.
I got the Necronomicon in front of me.
Seriously, how cool could we possibly be? I was singing Bon Jovi lyrics. Speaking of which.
What's the Necronomicon?
Go ahead and read parts out of it.
Klaatu!
I think Sarah. I know. Hey, you know what's better than a top five?
Yeah.
Sarah reading out of the Necronomicon.
That'd be hot.
Yeah, I think it would.
Do we have any porn music?
Play some porn music.
Is like geek porn. Sarah, if we play some porn music, will you read out of the Necronomicon?
I'm not going to read sexy like.
No, you don't have to.
Well, come on. Just like a little like.
Just a little
can
piece.
I see, like, can I see it for a second and tell you how maybe to read?
Find a part for
okay,
a read.
Sarah, I'm sorry. Shannon,
okay,
I'm going to put
demonstrate.
You back on hold. Okay. Play some porn. Wait, hold on. Play some porn music.
Wait, hold on. Find something about Yogg-Saggaroth. Or...
Okay, wait, hold on.
Cthulhu.
Okay, yeah, no, seriously. Okay, are we ready?
Cthulhu? Flute of Azathoth. Both makes and unmakes the worlds in ceaseless combinations that are like dancers spinning on a woven carpet of time. There can be no creation without destruction.
I am not going to do
no,
that.
No, I'll get snarked. I'm not... Hold on. Make sure we...
The idiot god on his black throne does not choose what shall rise into being. For they shall react and interact with the flesh in the arithmetic of Azathoth, who gathers his sums. No created being has seen Azathoth save only Nyarlathotep, who is called Chaos that creeps by riders who...
This is like that many shrooms and jewels knew
that?
What it was like to be roasted in the belly of a slurg that day. Or whatever that crap is from.
Is it just like a fiction book?
It's.
We shall feast upon the beaks
scary.
Of the unknown.
What the hell are the beaks of the unknown?
Are you supposed to know what those words mean?
Yogg-Saggaroth and Nyarlathotep. The many-headed Cthulhu is the greatest.
Here, you, Clyde. Okay, Clyde's going to read.
Do it in his Loverman voice.
This is a porn for geek girls. Here you go.
Hold on a second. Wait. My glasses.
Oh, with your glasses. You look all.
Oh, and spectacle. One of the sides is broken.
I broke it today.
You are the most ghetto thing I've ever seen.
Do you want some tape for your glasses?
I broke it today. I gotta get me some new glasses.
All right. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait. Okay. Dagon.
Okay, what else?
Wait a minute. Should we do Dagon?
Dagon, your mucus.
Okay. After exhausting the resources in the city beneath Irem and all that can be gleaned by travel through its soul portals and communion with the deep dwellers who haunt its vaulted chambers and vast, many-pillared halls, the traveler must descend more deeply, deeply into Earth.
Tingly.
For there is no escape upward past the witch, whoever waits and listens. In the lowest reaches of the western halls, beyond the stone stairway bathed in blinding radiance that shines out from the walls with the brightness of beaten gold, is to be found a great door of cast bronze that swings easily and without sound on its hinge.
I think I suddenly understand what Becca sees in
there.
Oh, no. Is this just a bunch of gibberish?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is. That's exactly right. This
is the book that Ash is supposed to retrieve in Army of Darkness.
Oh, that's where I know the name from.
Yeah.
Latu,
Varatu, Necktie. That's
exactly it. So, Sarah, it's your turn. Try something for the Necronomicon.
All right, then.
We're raising demons here.
All right, then. But before we raise demons, let's take Shannon. Shannon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Ma'am, as the case. But who is this?
Hi.
Well, Shannon, you know, is a gender-neutral name.
It's gonna hurt.
All right, Shannon, are you ready to play and complete this this 80s butt rock lyric?
Sure. What happened to caller 5, though? I'm caller 6.
Are you? Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
All right. I won't complain.
I was just going to say, no, it's too late.
No, you lose.
It's too late. I got to put you back on hold now. You should have just, mistake. You should have been dishonest. You should have been.
I was just curious.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You know what? Because Rick Emerson cares, we'll do both here. We'll do you, and then we'll do the guy who's caller 5. All right.
Right.
So, okay. Let me, Clyde, pick
yes.
two 80s butt rock bands.
Two 80s butt
two,
rock.
Just the bitches bands. Just pick two 80s butt rock bands.
Winger
and
Cinderella.
Winger and Cinderella. All right, Shannon, your choices.
Are pretty obscure. obscure, though.
I guess if you didn't grow up in America. How old are you, Shannon?
I'm 20.
Oh, yeah, no.
You'll never. Okay,
Why don't we do...
Like Def Leppard, maybe. That's a little more mainstream.
Twisted Sister.
What about Metallica?
Def Leppard. Megadeth.
Okay.
Cheap Trick.
Rat.
Cheap Trick's not a butt rock band.
Well, I know, but it's, you know, that genre.
Well, I mean, it is. I do. It does have to be 80s butt rock. I'll take
it
Def Leppard.
It has to be 80s butt rock?
Chick, well, that's kind of what it is. Chicks are into butt rock.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
The Def Leppard. Okay, so Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
And what's another band you're into?
You know.
Sir? What's another 80s band you're into? Like another 80s sort of hair band?
White Snake.
White Snake.
All
yeah,
right.
There you go.
All right. Please now to choose either Def Leppard or White Snake.
White Snake.
Really? Okay. Let's see here. I gotta. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll make it easy. This is really not even. This is really only. I think one line you have to come up with here.
I know.
Oh, you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So sing a White Snake lyric, and then she'll have to finish it. Okay.
Because I know what it means.
Can you repeat that?
Oh, no, I'll do the next line. We'll do two.
Because I know what it means to walk alone this lonely.
I am not sure. I don't think I've heard that one.
Okay, oh, you lose.
Wait, hold on. Do it one more time.
Because I know what it means to walk alone this lonely.
Is it, I know what it means?
No.
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
The correct answer is
Lonely Street of Dreams.
Okay.
I don't listen to
hip hop. All right. Shannon, I'm sorry. After all of that, I'm sorry that you've lost.
No. It's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Let's see here. Let's get Dallas. Dallas. Hello.
Dallas. Hey, what's up?
Dallas.
Delos. Delos and Nyarlathotep meet together in the chasm of death.
Okay. Can't go deaf. All right.
I get deaf for 200.
Please not to be picking a band. You can pick either Twisted Sister or
Rat.
Motley Crue.
Or Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
Twisted Sister. All right. Let's see here. Twisted Sister. I'm trying to pick one that's not like insanely obvious.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is obvious, not very many people know all the words.
Okay, yeah. No. Okay, that's exactly what I was going to do. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
See no evil, don't you think no evil, don't you lay no with evil, because I'm free.
Oh,
It was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll do it one more time.
Okay.
See no evil, don't you think no evil, don't you lay with evil, cause I'm free.
Didn't tell ya.
Oh, you're gonna burn in hell.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Sorry, Dallas.
We're such geeks. Right,
hello.
I'll tell you what.
I was reading a Game Informer magazine. About Twisted Sister. Dick Kick.
Rue Morgue magazine.
Like it's good to make fun of others.
Right?
Seriously, I got a stack of Fangoria stuff 8 inches high on my desk right now.
Yeah.
All right, now next to a bunch of those little homies action figures.
I collect deeply red, by the way. So, you know, Lucio Fulci Film Festival. Yeah.
Okay. What are you talking about?
Right here.
I collect deeply red?
It's called Deep Red. These magazines I used to collect. They were
collecting
like
deeply red sounds like you get sores. I collect deeply red on my elbows. The doctor doesn't seem to know what it is. They have to come in and sponge me several times a day. It's the
damnedest
thing.
I have a rash. Okay.
I am a donut. Okay.
Gross.
It is gross.
And now I say to you,
sleep at night.
That's Aaron's, by the way. I borrowed that from Aaron.
Sleep at night as though you're John Mark Carr. God damn it, man. How do you sleep at night?
Oh, look at that.
You got the razor blade to the nipple in that one
Yellow.
Shot. No one
sees. She has branches what? Going into her face.
Well, so she's still kind of hot.
Yeah, she's hot. What about the one where they, that, what movie was it where they,
I like, think it was chicks who were filled
Silent
with trees.
Silent Night, Deadly Night, where Santa Claus mounted this chick on these antlers. It was the coolest thing in the movie.
I like my women who are filled with wood. Like trees.
Oh my God.
Oh, what? Oh, jeez.
Oh,
what did you do?
And we're
what?
Done. We're breaking now.
She threw something at me. What did you throw? What
here we go again on our own. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Gonna come back. 503-733-2970. Coming up, Scott Daly is going to be in here. We will attempt again to give away these tickets to Night of the Living Dead, the stage play. It's 503-733-2970. Peace, and he's out of here. Bye, Bloomer. Bye, whatever.